DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, the most important thing that I would like to stress is how important it is to be a good spiritual director. Our Lord tells a delightful story today in the Gospel, and I would love to be a spiritual director to both these men. And it's the story of the tax collector, and he really draws me, and I would love to help him with his conscience. And I also would love to help the Pharisee. And I would love to give them both spiritual direction. And I feel it's so important, you know, and whether this conference and talk be directed, I think, at all Catholics, but especially those who are mentors or are going to be spiritual directors. It doesn't necessarily have to be a priest. But if you're helping form the conscience of those who find themselves and want to help to know whether I'm righteous and in the state of grace with God. What is the state of my soul with God? What would I do if I died right now? Am I righteous with God? It's so important, an awareness that we can help people with. And this is a story. It's five verses from the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning with the 9th to the 14th. Jesus spoke, and it's a very powerful story, the following parable. To some people who prided themselves on being virtuous and despised everyone else, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood there and said this, praying to himself, I thank you, God, that I am not grasping, unjust, adulterous, like the rest of the multitude, and particularly that I am not like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all I get. The tax collector stood some distance from the temple, not daring even to raise his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man, I tell you, went home again at righteousness with God. The other did not. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the man who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I'm very drawn to do some spiritual direction. First, I think, to the man who has recognized that he has sins, and the grace that must have flooded his soul when he became aware, oh my God, I have been led by my greed. I have been disloyal to my people, and I've gone over to the Romans, who are the hated ones for my people. It's my greed and my avarice, and I have gone into extortion. How many widows, and I've taken food out of orphans' mouths, and I have been so horrible because of my blindness and what I have done. And when he comes to this, he is all overwhelmed with sorrow. And the scripture says here he was bent over so that he couldn't even look up at God. That is not the posture of a sinner. No. That is the posture of someone who's full of remorse. The grace that he has seen is that he is a sinner and that he has fallen into this temptation of avarice and greed, and he has been blinded by this so as to injure so many people. You know, if you just look in today's Mass, you hear from Ecclesiastes how just horrible these people have betrayed their people, and how God is listening to the cry of the poor. In Ecclesiastes, in the 35th chapter, there is, the Lord is judge. He is no respecter of persons. He shows no respect for persons who are a detriment to the poor. He listens to the pleas of the injured party. And this publican, this tax collector, was doing that. He does not ignore the orphan's cry and supplications, nor does he ignore the cries that are poured out by the widow. And this guy, in his blindness, has done all these things to so many poor people. But remorse is a posture, it's not a Christian or Catholic response. My sins I become convinced of. That's grace. But look at Jesus, looking at him right there in that temple. And what about that adulteress that was so bent and kneeling by him? Stand up, he said. Sin no more. Your sins are forgiven you. Contrition is looking at God, looking at you, and the face of God is smiling at you. You have come to righteousness. You have come to grace. You had been in the darkness, and now you're in the light. In the light, God is looking at you with intense love. And so as the Lord looks at this sinner, he sees the beauty and the goodness that's been there. You are in grace, and that's been restored to you. You're clothed in love. And see, contrition is looking at God, looking at you. Remorse is looking at yourself and how bad I am. And that is not humility. Humility is seeing the truth about your state with God. When I am righteous with God, when I am in grace with God, I rejoice. True contrition is seeing the truth about myself. That's humility. Humility is not how bad I am. Humility is not self-condemnation. Humility is not remorse. It's seeing myself as God sees me. That's true humility. Now, this Pharisee, on the other hand, what is he seeing? He's seeing himself. He sees his relationship not with God. Notice what he says when he says, when he comes to the temple to pray, the Pharisee then stood there and said this prayer to himself. The prayer is not addressed to God. is addressed to himself. Thank you, God, which is a lie. He's not thanking God for what he's doing. He's thanking himself. He is self-reliant. That I am not grasping, unjust, adulterous, like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all. I pray, I fast, I tax. This self-reliance is so self-centered that when we have, and many of the, over and over again, there are Catholics who come into a confessional or even into prayer, and they only see their self-reliance. If this person could begin to see that that is not really dependence on God. And many times it comes when I begin to see through grace, and the confessor or the mentor can help that soul, the Pharisee, see that my dependence has not, and many, many priests, many, many people, many, many Catholics who are listening to me today are thinking they're in grace because of their own strength. And the only time I sin is because when I, through my own strength, cannot overcome the sin, whatever that might be. If I might be addicted to alcohol, or to pornography, or any other addiction that I have. Many times it's the I that has sustained me in my righteousness, in my goodness. How many alcoholics or drug addicts have come to see in AA as they come to try in this 12-step program to see that my remedy is to see that I can't do anything. I am completely and totally bankrupt. There's nothing in me that can do anything to help me overcome alcoholism, pornography, any kind of addictions. I am completely bankrupt. I found a power higher than myself, God, who can sustain me and help me. God is greater than I. It's like news, absolute revelation that there is someone greater than the I. That Pharisee is many times a good Catholic, a good Christian. I am the one that sustains myself. And when I fail, then I self-condemn. So the Pharisee is here totally depending on himself and absolutely convinced he has no awareness that that self-reliance is the tumor. That's the sin. And only until many times the I begins to be unable to carry me through whatever that is. And we sometimes think it's so awful. Over and over again, in my daily life as a confessor and as a spiritual director, this man came to see me this week. Now he has a terrible disease. He is so strong as a Catholic, and he teaches Catholicism. He teaches CCD. He is strong. And now he's sick. And now I am facing this terminal disease. And I am so mad at God. I hate him. I hate him. Look what he's done. I'll now have a child. And I have a wife. And I want to be with them. and I believed that I would have my prayers answered. And I am so disgusted with you, God, because you didn't answer my prayer and what I was convinced you would. And when the doctor told me that I was going to die and I had this illness, I hate you, God. How many times the I is the God? The Pharisee is God. He didn't thank God for what he was doing. He was thanking himself. And then there comes a time when I discover that I am dependent and I need this higher power. I need God. In one way or another, the self-sufficient, self-reliant person comes to discover what a great day that is, whether it be health or economic disaster or some kind of catastrophe that may awaken the person or an addiction to, I can't. You, God, can. I now rely on you. The third step of the 12-step program, which is the surrender to God, is such a marvelous and wonderful discovery for the self-reliant, self-sufficient soul. It's an exposure that I believe this Pharisee is waiting to discover. He hasn't discovered yet, but I would really love to have an opportunity to give him spiritual direction. We are all knowing what Jesus has just told us. We are all waiting for that day in which we are going to appear before God. If you're listening to me, there are only two moments in life that are really important. And in the Hail Mary, we ask Our Lady for those moments. Pray for us now and the hour of our death. Actually, now and the hour of our death are the same. That's what I'm talking about. Are we righteous with God? Are we in grace with God? Does God look at me now on my way to Mass? Does God look at me now as I'm driving my car? Does he see me as I'm lying in bed on this Sunday morning? Does he see me and smile and say, you are my daughter. You are my son, and I love you. Am I right with God when I get out of bed in the morning, this Sunday morning, and is he looking at me with love? As I serve coffee to my family this morning, what is my relationship with God? Paul looks at this now and the hour of my death as the same thing. And actually, as he's writing in today's Mass, the second letter to Timothy, he's actually going to die soon. And he tells this young bishop, my life is already being poured away, and I am being poured out like a libation. The time has come for me to be gone. And he's about to be beheaded. I have fought the good fight to the end. I have run the race and have finished. I have kept the faith. All there is to come now is the crown of righteousness reserved for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. He is so sure of his relationship with God. He now, in that state that he's in, says, when I meet him, this is what's going to happen. And then what does he say? And not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his coming. Each one of us should long for it, just like he did. Now, you know, I bought a casket and I have it in the back of my chair. Now, and it's not a said kind of weird thing. No, it's just now and the hour of my death are the same. I'm not looking forward to it, and I'm not afraid of it. Whatever that time is that comes, am I right with God now? How does he look at me? That's what the subject is today, and I would love to encourage all of you who are spiritual directors to help those, whether they're coming to confession, as I did with these two men, or wherever you are, mentoring and helping others in their relationship with that relationship with their God. Am I in the state of righteousness? Am I in the state of grace with God? Does he look at me with love? Does he look at me at this moment? Because it's so important. And just to live the ordinary day in this world, in the presence with the smiling and the joy of God on us. That beautiful man who was the tax collector came to that grace, and he should rejoice. That man who was a Pharisee, who was self-dependent, is so miserable in his self-reliance that only when he discovers the joy of dependence on God is he truly going to find some peace. Not in himself, but in the fact that God is the one who is the source of all goodness and love. And then he will be in grace and in peace.
Monsignor?
Yes?
The man that you spoke of who has the terminal illness and is crying out in anger, a huge part of that is fear, don't you think? Just ultimately, it comes down to being so afraid. Some will lash out in anger. Some will lash out in despair. So a lot of times, the I kicks in because you want to make sure that the ones that you love are taken care of. It can affect elder couples now who are facing an uncertain future. They may have saved for their retirement their whole life, and one's fell swoop, an accident, or maybe conditions in the stock market or whatever it is, it's gone. Poof. It's gone. Yep. There's fear. You're fearful for your spouse. There are those who are young right now, and they see war, and they're not sure, and they're fearful. They're sending their children off to fight. They're fearful. And that eye kicks in when you're, because a lot of times you're afraid.
And anyone who is dependent on himself or herself has to be afraid, because at the very fundament, you are unable to follow through with what you think you have. A billionaire is still afraid that he doesn't have enough money. And no matter how strong a man is, he's going to find a weakness that's going to destroy that self-reliance, because that is basically what he is. He is incapable of being God. Only God could be God. And so if you're leaning on yourself, no matter how strong you are, no matter how wealthy you are, if you're leaning on yourself, it's going to drop and it's going to be a house of cards, because I cannot really follow through with the power that only God can. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and we shall not rest until we rest in thee. There is no rest in the I. The self-reliant is bound to be afraid, bound to be, because I cannot control everything. And I want to, but I can't. Of my very nature of being a creature, I was made by God, and God, our creator, is also our redeemer. Redemption is not just simply creation. You can continue to be a creature and rail and rant at God. That's the sinner. But I can continue to be a redeemed creature and then I'm in grace and righteousness with God. How to help a Christian who is a creature and redeemed to discover both those things is what the subject of today's talk is about. Are you in grace? Yes, you'll always be a creature. You'll always be made by God, but you're more than a creature. You're a child of God. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.